You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. How can you help honour the wishes of a loved one who has left money to charity? Well, today we're joined by Daniel Pepper, Legacy Management Lead at RNIB, to learn more about fulfilling a donation wish. Hi, Daniel. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
Let's start at the beginning of the process. How are you first notified that someone has passed away?
Well, there are various ways. Normally, it comes via the firm of solicitors who are acting in the administration of the estate. They will initially write to us saying that we're mentioned in the will. Sometimes they will send a copy of the will, and we will then monitor the process as that goes through, which can take between 18 months and 2 years, depending on the type of estate. But most charities, including the RNIB, subscribe to a probate agency, which means that once probate is granted and the will and probate become a matter of public record, documents of public record, we are notified that we are mentioned in the will. It doesn't mean that we will ultimately benefit from that will. So when we receive that, we also receive a copy of the will. So we are aware of who the executors are, and they could be professional executors, solicitors, sometimes accountants, or it could be a lay executor, a member of the family, a close friend, who the person has appointed. So that when we write to them, we will always let them know that this is how we have become aware that A, we are beneficiaries in the will, that B, that their friend or family member has made the wonderful gesture of remembering RNIB in the will. We want to extend our condolences to them and to their family and friends, and to assist in any way we can, because we know sometimes the administration of an estate can be complex, and we are there to help. We can provide guidance should it be required.
And after a lay executor receives that letter where you inform them, what's the next step to help the donation be processed?
Well, as I say, we can help the lay executor depending if they wish for assistance, but normally we would wait to hear from them. Obviously, they're dealing with something that is very personal. It takes time to do the actual process, be it a professional or a lay executor, closing accounts, possibly selling a property. So we wouldn't chase on a regular basis because we know the nature of what a lay executor has to do. And further, we would let the lay executor know, depending on our benefit in the will, our requirements. Now, normally, if it's a pecuniary gift, which is a one-off amount, somebody very kindly leaves $5,000 to the RNIB, we would wait to receive that payment. We would probably send our bank details if it's easier for the lay executor to make a bank transfer rather than pay by cheque, and wait to hear from them. But if we are a residuary beneficiary, we've been left part of the residue, say 25%. For audit purposes, there are certain things that a charity will need. One of those will be a copy of estate accounts or a basic statement of finance, just so that we have it for our records. So we normally ask for those. Most lay executors understand straight away our requirements and are more than happy. And as I say, we are more than happy to assist in producing that, advising, going through and giving guidance on what the requirements are. And effectively, estate accounts is a list of the money that's come in, a list of the payments that's gone out, and the calculations. If we are receiving 25%, that final figure, there's our 25%. And part of the process is that to discharge the executors, we need to provide a receipt for them to show that they have provided their service as an executor, discharged us as beneficiaries, and we then return that compliment by sending us a receipt. But we also are obliged to approve the estate accounts so that that effectively clears the executors. And obviously, if there are any queries, we can raise them and go through it with the executor if needs be.
What are some of the challenges that you can face in helping a lay executor to do that, or misconceptions that you might come up against?
Well, I think some lay executors feel that when we write that oh, why are we writing? And again, how did you know that we're executors? We explain that in the letter. And sometimes I think they feel that depending on the charity, how you approach and when you approach, we're very mindful of timing. We don't want to approach a lay executor too early. We don't want to approach a lay executor around any specific dates, anniversary dates. So we are conscious that an individual is dealing with a very, very close relative or friend who has passed away, and they will deal with it in their own time. So we normally give plenty of time before we write, and we're there to assist as well, as much as we can. So I think the timing element, some people will say there's never an appropriate time to write. And in some cases, that may be true. But we need at some point to just let the executor know that we're aware that we've been mentioned in the will, to forward our condolences and thank that individual for the generosity that they have extended to us in leaving us a gift, and to help the lay executors honour that person's wishes. It doesn't matter who makes your will. If we always recommend that you go to a professional, take legal advice, but it is vitally important that you advise your executors that you are appointing them as executors, and also advise them where your original will is being stored.
And if people want to learn more about creating wills and leaving a gift to RNIB, where can they get guidance and information?
The best thing to start with, if you're considering leaving a gift to RNIB in your will, my first comment would be thank you for considering us. It's a wonderful gesture and it's greatly appreciated. Go to our website, have a look at leaving a gift in a will. That will give you the initial guidance, give you an idea of what you'll need to do, a little bit of preparation beforehand. So if you are going to see a solicitor to prepare your will, which, as I said, we always recommend, have information up front ready. So who your executors are going to be, as we've already discussed, who the people you want to benefit. Pet charities are there, and that's wonderful, but it's family, it's friends, and they may be receiving specific gifts. If you make a list, when you go in, it speeds up the process of the solicitor taking your instructions and preparing a draft will for you to approve. And that little bit of work will save time and, of course, saves costs in the long run, because you'll have that list there. The solicitor can say, right, who are your executors? Here they are. And think about what we call a substitute. So your initial executor may well be a close family or friend. However, if that person is unable or unwilling to act for whatever reason, it's always good to just think of a substitute, an alternative, if you have, just in case. And if you haven't, the solicitor may recommend or suggest, well, the solicitors could do it in that situation. However, they will also say that they will charge a fee for acting as executors in that case. But it's always good to do that little bit of work up front in advance. So when you walk into the solicitor's office, all the questions that he's or she is going to ask you have already been answered, because you'll have them in front of you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Daniel Pepper, RNIB Legacy Management Lead, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Pleasure, Amelia. Thanks again for having me.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.